Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings, we're glad you made it.
Greetings and welcome to Sounds of Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, it is the battle, but first came the deliverance, then the casting down of the enemy over us. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the first day of December 2017, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Genesis chapter 32, starting at verse 3 through chapter 36, verse 43. Obadiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. And the New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 58. Go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to check out the latest articles by The Watchman. We have Christian Clarity in an Unclear World, The Three Cognitive C's of an Intelligible Faith in Christ, Christian Clarity, The Quality or State of Being Clear, Lucid, Easy to Understand, Comprehensible, Coherent, and Intelligent, Concerning the Things of Christ, of Jesus Christ, The Three C's, Three Cognitive C's. And also, Former Days, Former Glory, Today, Swine and Noses, Behold. It is the days of former years to which I remember, but these days are days of suffering the intolerable to which this nation has attained. There is no hope, there is no solution for them, and the people have not a clue, for they reject any notion to which I make an appeal. It is a precipice heading into oblivion. There is no escape nor return to the former glory. Behold, it descends. Dana Glenn Smith, in the days of swine and noses. Building God, who or what is your God? And this is what Don DeLeo had to say about technology. The time of the end, knowledge shall be increased. Who or what is your God? Oh, that was Dana. But this is Don. This is the whole point of technology. It creates an appetite for immortality on one hand and threatens universal extinction on the other hand. Technology is lust removed from nature. Go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to check out those articles by The Watchman. You can also follow Warn Radio and The Watchman by going to Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Vimeo, and on Twitter. Get the latest updates of the WIBR, Warn Radio events, shows, and more. To follow us on Twitter, go to hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag WarnRadio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. And we are here. Well, it's December. I told you last night. Now, of course, Tower was missing until way, way late. And she had some other stuff she had to get done. But she's with us tonight. And
thank God.
I told you last night that, you know, here we are. You know, the 2017 is down the road practically. I mean, and now we're in December. You know, we're just... counting down. Hopefully, you know, I do want to, towards the end of the month, deal with some things that we're looking at, what could happen next year. We do this about every year. But it just really depends. I think last year we covered the Antichrist, Shadows of the Antichrist. I'll have to look and see. But we normally like to cover some things like that. Needless to say, if you read the news today and look at all the proverbial knuckleheads out there, you know, America is just, you know, have you ever heard the term fool's paradise?
Yeah.
I mean, it, you know, people today are just flat foolish, and they say foolish things. And we have more in our share of these kind of things.
Boy, isn't that the truth. Amen.
You know, but at any rate, we got our first bag of books in. Actually, it's a box, and here is the book right here. I would show it to you a little more clearly, but the title's backwards because of the way the camera goes. So, Steal the Darkness. Yes, that's it right there. See how thick that is? That's a...
But it's an easy read.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it's a... It's a good read. You can kind of see it there. But at any rate, if you have a bookstore in your area, you can go in and talk to them and tell them to order it in from Ingram, because this is on Ingram and all of its distribution channels, and it's on Amazon and all of its distribution channels. And... it's also, you can go to our website, either one of them, warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, and you can find links to it. You can also look in the Spreaker description of all of our podcasts, you know, all of our shows, and you'll find the link to the book itself. So, at any rate, check all these things out, and I think that you will find that it is a good book, and that it is, it moves real quickly.
Yes.
You know, we do have a patriot group in here, a pretty big one, group of patriots, led by a radical preacher. We have a Jewish prophet. And we have a Hitler-type character. We have a new high kind of alien that you've never heard of, I can guarantee you. And we have UFOs, and we have politicians, and a lot of others that make up this story. And so at any rate, it is a story, but it has Christian biblical values and certain things written in it, but it is also about life and a potential of what could happen. So this is a prophetic mystery thriller with a Christian background, but you're also going to find Lucifer in it. You're going to find preachers in it. You're going to find people that disagree with the preacher. So at any rate, it's Life 101. So check it out. Steal the Darkness. And so at any rate, what else we doing here?
Oh, well,
go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. I was just... No, go ahead.
Well, I was drinking my coffee.
Okay, so was I.
So... Oh, yeah. So you can drink your coffee, and I'm expected to talk because, you know, you're drinking your coffee. See, that's the thing here, you know.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, folks, you know, it's hard to believe, really, that we are all the way through 2017. And
about 30 more days.
You know, when we were going through 2014, 2015, we had the double blood moons, and that was a time of the horrific ISIS going on through the Middle East and the slaughter there.
Seems like a long time ago, too.
Yeah, it
It really, really did. It just, and yet it went by. It just, things go by so fast. You know, we're in our 20th year, thereabouts. You know, you can, it can be definitely more than that, but this is just a guesstimate because last portion of our ministry is a specific ministry to the end times. We've known about this since 1973, and we led up through all of our lives. We actually started into the ministry about 1978-79, but this portion, the Lord called us out about 1997 or somewhere around there. So I figure from 19, whatever I said, it's 20 years. But if you take 1998 to 2018, you're going to get 20 years. That makes it easy. And so at any rate, it's been short. That's the point here, you know. But we are doing a lot of things now, and I just noticed, I found out tonight that one of our feeds going to Blueberry is still hooked up to our Blog Talk Radio platform. We're not on Blog Talk anymore. We moved off that. I'd been there a long, long time. It was time to, as Paul said, go out and find a new place to cast seed and spread the word. And that's what we're doing. And we do it through Spreaker. Our target, of course, is not just PCs and worldwide stuff, but we are targeting and making it easier for all those smartphones out there to be able to do it. So we've got to change a lot of things, and that's what we're doing. Our Thursday program, we're breaking it down into simple 3 one-hour broadcasts in the audio. It always was one-hour broadcasts on the video, but now it's on the audio to make it easier for you to download those shows. We are also working on a number of things, an app for iTunes, but we still got to work on getting a lot of things done here. There's just a lot of things we've got to do. So we're not totally through with everything. Plus, at the same time, we've got other things we're working on as well. So we have been really, really, really busy. And that's just the way it is. And so at any rate, enough of that. I just want you to know that, you know, we are part of that. Definitely end-time ministry. We are pushing to get this word around the world. For this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. That's what we're doing, folks. And
amen.
That's what we push, and that's what we're going after. And so at any rate, while the rest of the world does whatever they do, and while people fight over things, and you know, I'm looking at one day getting rid of all of our prophecy news, and we will still have prophecy news, but we're going to do, we're going to talk about the persecuted church, we're going to talk about spreading the gospel, we're going to talk about Israel, we'll talk about America, and a lot of things like that. But I am not going, and I do not now, I try not to repeat the news that's in the fodder mill of baloney that is just everywhere nowadays. And an example of that is Matt Lauer, who now is recently in his, you know, his problems. It's all over. If you don't, you can find it. I'm not going to repeat it. But you see, those are the kind of things we don't want to report on. And see, these are the Matt Lauer and people like him. These are liberals that were holding Trump's feet and everything else to the fire, while they themselves were doing things much worse than Trump did. So, I mean, this is the pot calling the kettle black. And this is just a bunch of nonsense we have in America. And we've had all kinds of immorality and just fornication and everything. And to have everybody stand up and aghast that women are being molested, You know, the only question I have is, while he was doing those things in Matt Lauer's office to all those women, did any of those women scream bloody murder and rape from his office? No, they didn't. They sat there and they took it instead of yelling rape. If you don't want a guy to do something, yell rape if you're in an office situation and get out of there. You know, I mean, that's...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this stuff of all of a sudden showing up all these years later, oh, yeah, he did it to me, and he did it to me, and he did it to me, and he did it to me. Well, yeah. Okay. Right.
Well, they should have, the men should have never gotten, or the women, too, if they've done things like that. They should never have gotten away. But the Bible does say what's done in secret will be exposed in light. Something like that. You know,
well, it does.
Your sins are going to be found out. God will expose them.
So what we're saying is that, yeah, there's a lot of this stuff going on, but if we weren't training our children in sexual immorality at an early age, like preschool, we wouldn't raise all of our kids up to be a bunch of perverts. And literally, this is a nation that has gone off the deep end. And many of the churches do not say anything. They try to blend in and say, okay, it's fine, and nobody strives against sin. You know, Paul accused, I think, which one was it? I can't remember. Was it the Corinthians? It says, you haven't shed any blood in striving against sin. Well, in America, about the only thing we've done in striving against sin is get pains in our butts as we've been sitting on them all the time, and our mouth keep closed except for innuendo and criticism and problems. And I say this in an effort to uncover the truth and tell people to wake up, but I'm telling you that we got more problems than just Matt Lauer molesting people from his office. I can tell you that. And it begins with the children that you've been perverting for probably right now a good 20 years and more. I would say probably 30 years you've been perverting them. Now it's down to the preschool, but it used to be just in fifth grade and fourth grade. Now you've been perverting them for a long time, and you've had several generations of this. So our whole country now... And then, not to mention the fact, look at all the women who are molesting the boys now in school.
Oh, I know.
These are women teachers. I mean, this is the kind of thing we have. And, of course, you know, this is an immoral thing, and this is an immoral nation, and it's not going to change. We threw out the Bible. We threw out the Word of God. We threw out the Lord. We serve many gods. We're embracing Islam in many places. And I'm here to represent the true and living God. I stand opposed to everything else. But, you know, people are going to do what people do, and you believe what you believe, and we'll believe what we believe. And when we stand before the Lord God, you'll find out that we're the ones that you should listen to. So,
amen.
So at any rate... See, what else we got flying around in the ointment? You know, the fly in the ointment thing?
Yeah.
Well, really, you know, I was telling Tower this. I have a major app that I use for my news. And it has, you know, WorldNet Daily. It has a number of the, you know, a lot of the conservative. It has a lot of other... But it gets nothing but junk on it. I had like 1,500 headlines on it.
Good grief.
And so I have to scroll through them in order to get it cleared out. And I could make it so far, and then after that I just kept scrolling and refused to look at it. It was just nothing but garbage. And that's, see, if you ever get frustrated about the way things are going, you know, there is genuine reason to be that way, because Paul said these are perilous times. And the times in America today are as bad or probably worse than Paul even described them. And, you know, we are on the precipice of the apocalypse in more ways than one. And I was talking about this last night, and you can catch that... show, so I'm not going to repeat it. But, you know, we have to live every day for the Lord. We need to look to Him. We need to cleanse our mind, our hearts, our souls, and our spirits. And we need to clean it with the Word. We need to clean it, you know, with that washing of the water by the Word, seeking the Lord, repenting, you know, binding these unclean thoughts, or binding the things that you shouldn't be thinking on, or binding the enemy when he comes around to tempt you. You need to be binding.
Amen.
Okay, in the name of the Lord. So there's spiritual warfare you as a Christian need to be doing. And you need to be praying over your family and your children to protect them. Because this is a hard time to live in. And God never intended you to live in this time without Him. And that's the truth, the God's honest truth. And so, to the Lord, this is, you know, He's overcome. I mean, if He was to show up right now, the wicked would melt right before Him and turn into flames. But I'm telling you, the righteous will be changed, because we'll see Him as He is, because we have been born again by His Spirit. He has given us the power to become the sons of God. And that power is in the believer right now through the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and that divine nature that God has imparted to us. And I got news for you. It's time to understand. Christian and churches, the people of God are to be clean. They are not to be walking in defilement. And I mean all kinds of sins, not just sexual. There's more than just sexual sins. Backbiting, lying, stealing, thieving. Well, if you have a problem remembering it, go to Galatians chapter 5, read Ephesians, then read Colossians. They'll tell you about the children of disobedience. And then while you're at it, get back in and read the Ten Commandments. You'll find those in Exodus. Well, I don't believe in the law. Well, you better start believing in the law, because the law is going to hold you guilty. Or you're going to be, it's going to find fulfillment through Christ. Because Christ Himself said, I've come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And He did fulfill it through the atonement and the shedding of the blood. God declared in the beginning that it was the blood that would be used for the atoning work. So it's about time, Christian. It's about time to wake up. And I say that lovingly. So we've got about 23 minutes, so I was going to do that. You got anything else you need to do before we get to go?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, let's do this.
Okay, it'll be part 5.
Yep, part 5. Okay, tonight we are in the Journey of Promise for both Christians and Jews. And this is a journey we've been taking for some time, and it really follows closely with what we're doing on our Thursday night shows. The Thursday night shows, you know, we just got done with that one. That was part 3. It was called Tribulation 101, Possess Your Souls. And these really go hand in hand as we're walking through the end of days. Exodus 14, 4 through 9. Now, what we've been doing is going through the Torah, and then we go through the Tanakh. We go through the Old Testament, New Testament. We compare these scriptures and find the path that we've been on. And being as this is part 5, I'm not going to go through four other parts to let you know what's going on. You need to listen to those. Exodus 14 and verse 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh. And, of course, by this time, Moses has the children of Israel. The death of the firstborn, you know, has already occurred. That's the Passover. And the Passover, of course, when this thing was done with, they were ready to flee. And so they left Egypt, and a large group followed them as well. These represented the Gentiles. And they all went out, and I believe that there was about 1 million of them that came out. However, there's other, commentators, things, they're thinking 500,000. Nobody knows how many there are. Nobody had a calculator. Nobody had a video feed of it so they could count people. But, definitely we know the scripture tells us there was 70 people, and when they left, there was a pile of them. God had blessed them. And so they made it over, to the side of the sea where they were at. And this is where they're at now. The Egyptians are going to be coming up behind them, and, where the sea is before them is where they are kind of stuck. And, of course, this is about the time that you think, well, I hope God is awake. And, of course, when you start seeing imminent destruction, and this is what the children of Israel saw, of course. They saw them chariots, Pharaoh and his chariots and his army and generals. They were some of the most potent armies on earth. Now, when they went up against Babylon during that time, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Egypt. He took a lot of things. So, right at this point, up till this point, Egypt was really powerful. And nations didn't mess with Egypt. Now here, this is, God has now made Egypt a mess. I mean, because of Pharaoh's heart, he wouldn't let the people go. So the judgments just destroyed the economy. And, of course, the firstborn now, the final straw, they were all killed. He lets them go, and he's going to follow them. And he says, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and on his host, that the Egyptians may know I am the Lord, and they did so. And so God hardened his heart in judgment upon Pharaoh, because Pharaoh did come out and said during this whole thing, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Well, he's going to find out. He already knows, of course. Now he knows. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, and all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army overtook them, encamping by the sea, beside Phi-Hiaroth, before Baal-Siphon. And, of course, we know that Pharaoh followed them into the sea, and they were destroyed. And where you find the people of God, you're always going to find an enemy. But the promise given to Abraham, it was a promise. And it went through all of his children. The promise followed through. But God had told Abraham that there would be a time that his kin would go through a time of darkness, which was represented to Abraham in a dream that was very, very terrifying. And so the Lord said they're going to serve in another nation, and that nation was Egypt. They went from being a place of salvation when Joseph was there to a time of bondage, and then Moses was born. And, of course, at the time Moses was born, it was one of the worst, because they were killing the male children at the time, and he was saved alive by the hand of God. So this is, this is one of these things. This is definitely a promise connected. I mean, you can't deny that. Now let's go to 1 John 1 through 5. 1 through 4. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now see, we've been following this all along. So now we're in the point now where, you know, we are in the world, and all of a sudden we find out in this verse, the last verse, that we overcome the world. How do we overcome the world? We overcome the world, world, by faith. And faith is that operative that it says, of course, I've written about this, for, you know, we are saved by grace through faith. Well, grace actually comes out of God's mercy. God has mercy on us for no reason whatsoever. He loved us and he has given us mercy so that we might be redeemed. And in order to do it, we have to believe him, just like Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. And so this faith then becomes a vehicle, for it says that, for without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith is part of that, and Paul talks about the law of faith in Romans. But see, faith is that vehicle, a vehicle that allows us to believe God, to believe what he says, and to believe that what Christ did on the cross, and his own words, where he said, I've come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law, and he fulfilled it by going to the cross. The law never provided for the atonement in this way. There were sacrifices. And the sacrifices were given as an institution in order to provide limited atonement through the blood. And that's also why they have the Day of Atonement. So Christians wound up here connected to the promises of Abraham, which was given to the Jews. And we got that connection through the belief and the faith and that requirement which God had said. Now, when you get into Romans chapter, I think it is 11, God talks about this. I mean, Paul talks about this and how the Jews and the Gentiles are walking this same path. And he even says that the gospel itself, you know, the Jews are an enemy of the gospel for the Gentiles' sake. They're an enemy. And Paul talks about this in some detail in there. And that when this gospel went out to the Gentiles, they accepted it. And of course, this put the onus on the Jews to believe or not to believe. And even today, and it says that the Jews will be deceived. They will not know until the times of the Gentiles are ended, which is coming. So make no mistake, as we talk about the journey of promise, Christians are in that journey. Now, the Jews may not like it, but we are there, and we're there to provoke them to God. Now, of course, they may not want to be provoked. There's some of them that hate Christians as much as some of the Muslims do. But for the most part, even today, Netanyahu and a lot of the leaders over there appreciate the Christian support of Israel. But see, this is God's doing. It's not the Gentiles doing. We had nothing to do with it. God's the one that provided this whole thing. You know, the Lord sent his son, and he sent his son to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. The apostles talk about this. The gospel went to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles, and that's the way it works. The Gentiles accepted it. Many of the Jews rejected it, and they did not see that. Even up to the high priest, they wouldn't believe. So this is the battle today, and they're going to come to the Lord eventually. But for you and I today, we look at a scripture that says we have overcome the world, and the victory is through our faith. But we still face an opposition from an enemy that who has been defeated. Satan has been defeated at the cross, absolutely and completely. Yet his job of tempting, accusing is not done because he does it anyway. Every day, and his minions, his servants of darkness, his sledge workers of murky mud and disgusting things are not going to give up until the Lord comes and destroys them absolutely and completely and casts them down. And that's what it's going to take. The scripture says that unless God would shorten the days, there'd be no flesh left alive. And we are seeing today, even in America and the world, how society is turning on itself. How people, and I mentioned this earlier, are acting foolish about certain things. And we see just from a little tweet that Trump does, we're almost on the precipice of World War III with North Korea because of it, because that ruler is so devoid of truth that he wants to make sure he punishes the U.S. So he's told his generals to make the biggest bomb, the biggest nuke that they can make it with the biggest motor, the rocket, to propel it, to send it to America to teach them a lesson. So that's what he wants to do, because he's lost face in the eye of his people who see him as God, the beloved leader, the dear leader, they call him. But he's not the only one. You've got China, you've got Russia, both of whom America, many, many politicians and many generals do not trust. I mean, to paint the picture, to say that this thing is coming is not pretty at all. It's there right in your face. Every day there's things that are causing stress. And there is a place that you and I must walk in faith. We must believe. And God said that while we do this, we can have his love. We can have his joy. We can have his peace. See, this is the battle today. You can't deny it. Your children have to be ready for it. You need to be ready for it. But you're not going to live in anguish all the time. You can live in joy. You can live in peace. God can help you. See, he may be mad at the nations. He's judging the nations. But for his people, they can live in this, but they can also live above this. God's blessing can keep you. His angels surround you. You know, that's what the scripture, says. You know, the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And again it says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Are you going to believe that or not? God has given you a word. He's given you stuff to believe. Now it's up to you to have faith and believe. Every day you need to take that and say, I believe. I'm going to walk in that. But make no mistake, we overcome by that faith, the very faith that says we've overcome. And that faith is not in vain, it's in the Lord. He has overcome, but it says unless he shortens the days, there would be no flesh left alive, as I've said. Oh, and can you wrap your mind around that? Unless God would shorten the days, there'd be no flesh left alive. But for the elect's sake, he will shorten the days. But it tells us in Revelation again that when he comes to destroy those who have destroyed the earth. Meaning that it's not just Satan that's destroying the earth, but there's those who were led by Satan, who have rejected God. People like Kim Jong-un, who is destroying his own people. People like ISIS, who went through the Middle East and slaughtered Christians and Muslims and Yazidis and did unspeakable evil to men, women, and children. Yes, these kind of people. And they're not the only ones. And we are on the precipice of seeing even more. But that doesn't mean we've lost. We have not lost. We have won. And this thing in 1 John 5 verse 4, this is the victory that overcometh. That's an action word. Overcometh the world, even our faith. Now see, we can look at that. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh. Another action word. This is a word to understand that we can use that in the present tense. I am overcoming the world right now. But there's another one you need to hear. Revelation 12 and verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives not unto death. And they have overcome the accuser of the brethren who is cast down. That's the devil. They overcame. Past tense. Victory is already here. We've overcame. Because the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. And as we believe and don't give up, that accuser's being cast down every day. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You're truly born again by the word of their testimony. That is what the Lord's done for you. You testify. And you love not your lives unto the death. Now these are the things that describes the end of days. We are there, folks. We are here. And so when we talk about a journey, a promise, there is a journey. And it is full of promises. Make no mistake. God has not just thrown you into the end of days. Say, okay, figure it out. That's not what he's done. And I want you to understand that. I want you to receive the love of God right now. I want you to receive his peace right now. I want you to receive his joy right now. I want you to understand you're not going to change the evil. You're not going to destroy the evil. You're not going to change the nations. Prophecy and scripture tells us where we're headed. We know it. And we know there's going to be many gods. There are many gods. There was many gods in the beginning. Dear God in heaven, there's many gods today. That's never changed. There was a devil in the beginning and there's a devil now. Dear God in heaven, we've got a battle, but we, every day, we have to seek the Lord. We have to believe. And we have to think about our family and our children and those around us and the other brethren. See? And how we can get so upset over things like Matt Lauer and all these others, but yet we're not upset like that when we're aborting babies. We're not upset like that when we think about all the garbage that they're teaching our young children that's immoral. And they've been doing so forever. At least it seems. That's hyperbole, by the way. You see, we need to be concerned about these things. These children don't know any different, but now, many of them, they don't know anything else. We've got parents and have had parents that'll take their 3-4-year-old little boy and turn around and say, you're a girl, you can be a girl. Well, see, the way we've done things, both in the cartoons they watch and the things we do every day, we take away the role of the masculine and we really de-emphasize the traditional role of the feminine and we combine them into unisex where there is no real true light and darkness, left or right, or male or female. It's all blended in. And there's no sin, you see. And your churches, your pastors don't preach the gospel like they used to. Yeah, we've got a few out there. We've got a few hanging in there. But for the most part, we are in love with the world. We are carnal. We have fallen off the train, folks. And our children have, they are the ones that's going to suffer. Believe me. And so we need to wake up. We need to stop messing around. We need to get our lives. Men, you need to be the high priest of your family. And women, you need to know your role in that family. But you all need to walk in the love of God and submit yourselves to each other in the fear of God. We are to work together. Submit yourselves, therefore, to each other in the fear of God. Knowing that between a man and a woman in a married situation, if you can't get along and do that, then your prayers are hindered, kids. Boys and girls. Yeah. You think God's going to sit around and bless you when you guys don't submit and walk with each other? But see, the feminists and this society has made it to where they divide everything up. Oh, and we are divided in the sexes. We are divided in the races. We are divided in nationalities. We are divided. And this is why you're going to have an apocalypse. Because the hate is being flowing out of the hearts of people around the world. They want bloodshed, they want vengeance, and they want war. And in the middle of that, you find a group of people that want love. And those are the true remnant believers of Jesus Christ. And we talk about them many times. And it doesn't mean they're all perfect. But I'll tell you, the love of God comes out of the heart of the children of God. Whether you like it or not, that's where it comes from. Now let's go to Revelation 13, 4 through 10. Now see, this is where the big boy shows up. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. From that point there, it's 3.5 years till the Lord comes. 42 months. Now we know that. So the tribulation hasn't started. It's only 3.5 years, this main part. But in this part is the wrath of God. And so when we talk about that, you know, we've got a ways to go. And this is where some of our doctrine gets us all messed up. But I'm not going to get into that. Let's go on. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven, and is given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Now you see, this is the battle. Now he's been doing this since time immemorial. And then when Christ came on the cross and was defeated, he started doing it to the church. He's not going to give up in his hatred against Israel. He's not going to give up anything that goes against the Christians. He's going to continue that. And we've seen a ramp up. And I'm telling you, we monitor these things. And we follow these things. And I can tell you, every week, the organizations that we work with, have connections to their stuff arrives on my desk, and well, at any rate, there's always that war going on against Christians around the world. And when you hear about Muslims getting killed, many times it's other Muslims killing their own people. You don't see Christians committing jihad like Muslims do. But you have the liberals, including the globalists, and also the globalists in the EU, that all push this liberal slant that Muslim and Islam is all peace-loving. Islam, both sides, Shia and Sunni, are dedicated to world rule. And if you're a liberal, and if you believe that they're going to bring you peace and prosperity, and they're not going to try to take over the world, you are crazy. And many of you are already crazy. What you people believe out there in the world, what some of our leaders do out there, what they do in the EU, what Merkel has done to Germany, you're nuttier than a fruitcake. But see, the leaders can be blinded. Now see, where does this put us? It puts us living in a world for the Lord. And a world that is going to make war against us. And your help is not going to be the arm of the flesh. It's going to be the Lord. But see, we've been given our marching orders. And that's Revelation 12:11, which I said earlier. But see, when you see this evil one pop up, and you'll recognize him, and there is a sign, because he is going to die the death. He's going to come back from the dead like Christ came back from the dead. The devil is an imitator, and that's what he's going to do. And when the world sees that, they're going to worship him. And he's going to take on God Almighty, because he's going to set himself up as God in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. That's what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians regarding the son of perdition. In 2 Thessalonians, we see the description son of perdition, and in Revelation 13, we see the beast. Those are both phrases that describe the same one. Because in perdition, he appears, this beast appears as a man, but he is a destroyer who leads people into destruction. Now, there are many different kinds of people in this world that try to convince you that there's a lot of other things involved here. And they confuse the issue. See, that's the problem as well. You need to focus on the Lord and be done with all the other hogwash that these people are promoting. But see, many of them out there are attracted to this other segment. And see, this is the slide from traditional apostolic doctrinal aspects and getting into a modern version, which is going to lead you into hell. And it says in verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So if you're not born again, saved, and have your name in the book of life of the Lamb, you're going to take the mark. You're going to worship this guy. And number one reason is he's going to kill you if you don't. And you're not going to eat. You're not going to do nothing. All them nice real estate agents living in them multi-million dollar homes out there, they're not going to sell a thing. So much for your love of money. God is going to cut that puppy right off. You're going to have to live by faith. Oh, dear God. There's an awakening here for people on this planet, both for the wicked and for the righteous. But it's going to be a time you'll never forget, because you're going to see the hand of God like you've never seen, both in what he does to the enemy and the wicked, and both what he does to help the righteous. Even in their martyrdom, there's what I call an anointing of martyrship that gives them the power not only to overcome death, and that's because of Christ on the cross, but to give you power to become a martyr and to be a martyr. You know, the Apostle John, you know, they threw him in oil and tried to boil him alive. Do you think that it was just chance that he didn't die? Do you think that he was sitting there, you know, screaming and hollering that they were burning him alive? Do you think his skin got burned at all? No. I'm telling you, it's time to get a grip, church. Remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? Yeah, they told Nebuchadnezzar, O king, we cannot bow down and serve you. And he got mad. He's going to throw them in there. And they said, you know, our God is able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, be it known unto thee, O God, O king, we will not bow down to your idol and worship you. Our God can deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship you. So he had them throw him in, and you know the story, threw him in the fire. And they came out of it, and they didn't even smell a smoke, and the Son of God was in there. Now see, this is not just a fairy tale told, you know, by somebody years ago. It's the truth. the Apostle John, and we've read. Have you ever seen read the voices about the voices of the martyrs? They do a lot of stuff, but Fox's Book of Martyrs, folks. There is a power in your life. And the enemy has done everything he can to get you away from that power. I'm telling you, you need to turn the key. You know, if you have a car, it ain't going anywhere until you turn the key. Now, of course, they've got them today now. I was in one trying it out where you don't use a key. But you still have to have something. There's always something that starts it. See, you need to turn the key in your faith. You need to turn the key in your, I will serve the Lord. You need to put the gas of resolution in there. The gas of resolution is where you say, I am resolved. This is my resolution. And you speak your faith. That's your resolution. You stand on it. Make sure it's standing on the Word of God. And you stay there. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Now, you're going to hear that in Revelation a lot because that's truth. You have to have ears to hear. I've talked to a lot of people in my life, and they all had ears, but they didn't hear. Okay, adults, it's time for you. Do you have children? Or maybe you got a friend at work and you try to tell them something? They got ears. And unless they're deaf, and even if they're deaf, you could use sign language. But you see, many people, they can hear you. They can see your lips are moving. They know the tone and inflection in your voice, but they don't hear. It goes in, like we say, in one ear and out the other. It goes right through the volume, right through the middle of the ear canal. You know, you know when you look into that ear, have you ever looked through and, you know, we used to do that. Dad used to do this as a kid with us when we were kids. He'd look through and they could see the other side. Well, that was a joke. But see, there's a lot of people that they must have something because when you speak to them, it goes right through the wall, out the other side and down the road. See, and the Spirit of God says, he that has an ear, let him hear. Now, that is a command. Let him hear. But see, it's based upon your decision. You have an ear? You have to decide. Yes, I got one on each side. That's not what he's talking about. It is your resolve on the inside to say, yes, Lord. It comes out of your heart and says, I hear, I listen, I understand. It is your desire to want to know the truth. Remember the apostles asking him, why do you tell them in parables? He says, it's not given unto them to know the kingdom, the secrets of the kingdom, but to you it is given. See, many of them, when they gathered around the Lord, the apostles, they wanted to hear. They had ears, but they wanted to hear. Revelation tells us all, if you have an ear, let him hear. Make up your mind. You want to hear the truth. You want to know the truth. Now see, it says here, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the faith and the patience of the saints. Now you see, the problem with all this is, there is really nowhere to go. You know, when we come right down to it, when this thing starts to happen, they're going to gather everybody up. The patience and the faith of the saints. I mean, it's here. It's in your face. And it's like a snare. And it's on purpose. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Now, see, that's what the Lord says. That's at the end of the book. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He also says in the first part of Revelation, he is the Almighty. So he starts the book saying he's the Almighty, and he ends the book saying that he's the first and the last. So he's not only almighty, but he's everything, from the first to the last and everything in between. That's who the Lord is. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, you can get in the apostles. You can hear Paul talking about, you know, especially in Galatians, telling you that those that do such things will not enter into the kingdom of God. You know, there's just the way it is. You can say, well, we're not to have anything to do with the law. We're not saved by the law, no. But I'm telling you right now that if you do the deeds of the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what is that? That's a warning, but it's also based upon the law. And the law, as translated and given to you through the apostles, when they tell you don't do the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh are what is described in the law. This is the fulfillment of the law. Remember that. It's not the end of the law. It's the fulfillment of the law. That's why the apostles are telling you, you got two paths here. You got the way of the Spirit and the way of the flesh. Now, what are you going to do? You need to be walking in the Spirit. And he says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now that's the invitation. That's the same invitation that was given John 3:16. But in the same way, in John 3:16, you go down about 3, 4, 5 verses, you're going to find him telling you that not everybody's going to come because they're going to, what? Want darkness. Because they love their deeds more than they love the light. They just don't want it. So not everybody's going to get saved, unfortunately. Not everybody's going to come to the light. They don't want the light. Not everybody's going to do that because they enjoy doing what they're doing. And they're going to do that over everything else. And that's the way humans are. And see, that's why God said he's going to give to every man according as his work. Whatever your work is, God will give you the reward. Zechariah 14:1-5. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity. The residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in the day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed towards the north and half of it towards the south. So it's going to cleave in half, and there's going to be a place for them to flee. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal, and you shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Now, if you were looking for the Lord to come, instead of looking at the pre-trib rapture, this will tell you right here. This is connected right here. By the time you reach this, the wrath of God portion is coming to an end. I mean, not the wrath of God, but it's going to be beginning. And this right here is where you have this little portion to where the saints are coming back with the Lord. So you're going to be gathered. But Zechariah 14 is really important because that really describes the end of days, a fight that's going to happen against Jerusalem. Revelation 19:6-8, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now you see, the journey of promise, you know, God had always, always intended on saving as many as he could. God was not caught off guard at the fall. And I don't believe that he was caught off guard when Satan rebelled. Not at all. But the fact of the matter is that from Sinai all the way to Revelation, there's a promise. Sinai, and even our promises today, originated with the Lord God speaking to Abraham. Abraham believing God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. Now see, the beginning of the whole thing was the giving of the law at Sinai. The fulfillment of that law and what God had given was given to us when Christ came. He died on the cross to fulfill that. But he's coming back again. And he's coming back as judge. He's coming back as Lord to reward those who have been obedient. The buck is going to stop with him. You know, he's going to be the final authority. And you see, that's really where we're at tonight. We have a journey of promise, and the children of Israel, they're still on their journey. Because they're, you know, the people that are in the land, that's not all the tribe of Israel. Far from it. You have the northern tribes. Now, there's a few other over there. But see, mainly, it's been Judah that has been keeping the fire burning in the Middle East. Now, of course, Benjamin was with them, and so are the Levites. And there's a few others that are in there as well. But for the most part, we call the northern tribes, the 10 tribes that were divided from the southern tribe, which is Judah, we call them the lost tribes of Israel because they were scattered. And they were. No matter what the Jews tell you, they were scattered. We're still missing a bunch of them. And many of them have been mixed in with the nations. You know, just as Joseph, when he went to Egypt and he married a Gentile, and out of that came Manasseh and Ephraim. And both of them, yeah, they had the line of Joseph and of Jacob going back to Abraham, but they also had the line of the Gentile. In this case, it was Egyptian. When the children of Israel and the northern tribes were cast out, many of them got mixed in with the nations where they were cast off to. And over the years, they got mixed in. Then when the gospel came, many of them responded. And they became believers that way. Now you see, God is going to bring back, and he is going to unite the people, all in Christ, male, female, Jew, Gentile. And those Jews whose lines were in that northern tribes, who had been so mixed up like they were, not knowing that they're Jews or have a Jewish lineage, they're still can be saved. The salvation is not because you're a Jew. It's because you believe. It's because you've been born again. It's not based upon the law that you physically keep by the letter of the law, but it's a law of love fulfilled by love. For God is love. Christ was love. Generated out of his mercy, given to us through his grace, which allows us, that's his favor, see? He gives us his mercy, means he's not going to destroy us. Then he gives us his favor, and that favor His grace is accessed because he says, if you will believe me, if you will believe that I sent my only begotten Son to die on the cross, and you believe his work in what he did, then thou shalt be saved. And it's that that is going to unite. And yes, there's going to be a lot of prophecy yet fulfilled for Israel, but make no mistake, Israel is going to come to know the Lord. Now, I always tell people, read Romans chapter 11. See, this is the promise, this is the journey, and this is what we are doing in these end of days. Now, there is no doubt. And this particular study is rather long. And this is in its fifth part. And we have ended this part now. And I've got a whole other section I could go into. And I've got to decide whether, you know, whether or not we can really do it. I might just... you know, do something else. But it's so important for us to get this. Because we have so much going. And I find it interesting, though, that in the world... how it's become. We always knew, you know, the end of days. We knew these things would come. We've read Paul. You've read Paul. We've read the Bible. But we have never really understood, you know, just how bad it's going to be or is. And see, this is where you have to separate yourself and understand that the world and all of its attributes. See, much of the world is looking today at virtual reality. They're looking at artificial intelligence. And out of artificial intelligence comes your things like Siri, and Alexa, and many others. These are automated little devices that you can speak to. A lot of other devices are that way as well, artificial. But see, the artificial intelligence they're putting in robots is a step above. And I've written on this how this is going to be used in the end of days to help implement the mark of the beast. See, they believe this technology and this knowledge, and that's why, you know, it's going to deliver them, bring them into that utopian avenue of peace and prosperity and brotherhood. See, and there's other people that are working on migrating the human soul into machines so they can live forever. These are really going on. And then you have the aspect of the UFO and the Nephilims and others that are there, and they are going to appear on the scene too. So you have just a mess when you think about it. But see, our job is not to look around at everything. Our job is to have focus. We are to look to the Lord, tunnel vision, walking the path, trusting in him and using what we have that he's given us and believing, but not leaning on the arms of the flesh. Now, right now, yes, we have jobs, we have things that we can lean on. But what happens, like it did in the Middle East when ISIS comes through and there's nothing? Unless God intervenes, you're dead. And many of them died. Because that's the other part of Scripture, and it's the law. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, judgment. That's the law. You, as a human being, are going to die. I don't care how good your technology is or how smart you are or how long you think you're going to live. You're going to die. And even if you live to be 2,000 years, that's nothing in the eye of eternity. You see, you're going to meet your Maker one day. You see, and for all of those that want to be united to a machine, you'd better hope that your wiring don't screw up. You better hope somebody don't pull the plug while you're doing all that. You see, we're foolish. And, of course, Psalms 2 tells us that the nations rage and the people imagine a vain thing or a useless thing. They want to break the bonds that God has laid down. And this is the bonds of morality, the bonds of science, the very barriers where men shouldn't go that God had laid down. Men today are breaking those because they have the knowledge to do so. Knowledge, of course, is what Satan used with Eve, okay, in order to get her to sin. He said, "You shall be like gods, knowing good and evil." That is how Satan does it. And even today in technology, he's saying the same thing. You will be as gods when you know all this stuff. And this is exactly what man is wanting to do and is doing today. And so when the beast comes, he's going to have a new level of this technology and ability and know-how that you have never seen or could imagine. And this is all going to come together. But see, that is not going to stop the ability of us to lean on the Lord and to have supernatural signs and wonders and miracles from a God who has created all things. From Him flows all things. And so this is the battle, and that is where we're headed. But see, we're not there yet. While we look at the horizon and we can see Kim Jong-un, we can see Russia and China, potential major, apocalyptic visions. You know, it hasn't happened yet. You need to live every day as unto the Lord. And you need to enjoy every day, every hour, every moment, every night, every morning you get up. You need to thank God and look to Him and live in peace. Live in peace with your Savior and with those around you. Don't worry about changing America, although there's many that do. America is only going to be changed so far. It is not going to ever go back to what it was. And America one day is going to be invaded. One day it is going to fall. One day the nations are going to fall. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen this day, this week, this year, next year, or the next. But it's going to ramp up. Jeremiah warned Israel for decades. And he was opposed by the chief priests. He was opposed by other prophets. He was opposed by the political establishment. But it came to pass exactly as Jeremiah said. And we're here today to testify to you that this is coming and it's going to happen. And we're not the only voices out there. But see, we're saying that in the coming of everything, God has made a provision. And there is a promise and there's a journey. And that journey to obtain that promise leads us into tribulation, then so be it. If it leads us into the problem times, so be it. If it leads us in, it will get us out. What God has done, what God has laid out, so be it. But He's also made a way for us. We have overcome through Him. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loved us and died for us. And while ISIS and other radical Islamic groups, and they're not the only ones doing stuff, we have our own criminals here in America that love to kill and murder and rape and do everything else. I mean, look at Chicago, you know. they have the strictest gun laws in the nation, yet their murders are skyrocketing. They're at an all-time high, last time I looked anyway. And they've got the strictest gun laws. You can outlaw every gun in America. That ain't going to change anything. The only thing it will do is make it easier for the bad guys to kill those people that they want to kill. But today, we are living in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, Mark 13. But see, although we're living in those scriptures, look at Luke 21. We said this last night. Watch and pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all those things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. See, that's what the Lord has given us. And so tonight, I want to encourage you to look to the Lord, to prepare yourself. But also, don't get down in the mullygrumps. Don't allow yourself to get in this pessimistic, can't do, I'm going to die attitude. That's not the attitude of faith at all. Remember the children of Israel, when they were delivered out of Egypt, they accused Moses of bringing them out to kill them. Now see, they wouldn't even enter into the promised land, they said, you know, when they sent the spies into the land, because they were afraid, they said, we're going to die. But Joshua and Caleb said, let's go, we can do it. God will give us favor, we will win. Now see, you're going to need the same kind of faith. You're going to need to believe and trust God. No matter how big them giants are, God is able to give you victory. One of the first books I wrote on prophecy in the end of day is called D-Day for America. I wrote three chapters on giants, and they weren't the Nephilim. They were giants that Christians were going to face in these end of days. That book is no longer in print. But when we talk about giants, there are giants that you face today, and they're not the Nephilim, but yet they're just as real. Things that you're not going to get over. Things that threaten you and your family. And you're going to need the Lord. You're going to need His Word. And you're going to need to believe. But see, as far as the devil, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. He doesn't have to enter into your family. He doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to put up with his nonsense. You get a bad thought, you can bind that thought. You can rebuke the spirit. You can rebuke the spirit behind the thought. You can rebuke the flesh that also thinks about it. And you can rebuke the devil and bind that spirit and cast it into outer darkness for that thing. I mean, you can do spiritual warfare. And this works. You don't have to put up with nonsense. Now, if they come up to your house and got you surrounded and say, well, you need to take the mark or die, that's a different story. In that case, live or die, we're the Lord's. But that hasn't happened yet, and it ain't going to happen for a while. But I got news for you. You're living in an America that is filthy. It's not your hope. God is your hope. You're not to love the world. You're not to love the flesh. You're not to be dependent on the arm of the flesh. Now, God will provide for you through the world. He will bless you at your job. He will make a way for you. But you've got to be serving Him and putting Him first. Be at peace. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I ask, Lord, that you'd bless those that hear it whenever they hear it, Lord God. Let them know we love them and that you love them, that there is a way that they can live every day for you. There's a journey of promise, and they are on it through Christ Jesus our Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, in the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Tower.
Amen. I love how you bring out the hope in this ungodly world where it looks like there's no hope. We have a hope in Christ. I like that.
Well, we do. He's going to judge the world, and, he's going to judge everything in it. But there's nothing that says that he's going to forsake the righteous. Matter of fact, he told Jeremiah to tell the children of Israel, tell the righteous that it shall be well with them. Isaiah comes out and he says, go into your closets and hide until the indignation be overpassed. See, everywhere you look, when God's dealing with judgment, God speaks to the righteous. Go in and hide. He told Noah to build a boat, get in it, shut the door. Well, he shut the door.
Yeah, the Lord shut the door.
And they rode it out. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego went into the fire, and God delivered them, so they came out of the fire. See, this is how God works. There's not one scripture that says that God is going to take you out of this world before the rapture. I mean, in a rapture before the trib. Not one. Now, of course, I don't care whether you believe it. If you do, fine. I just don't live on that premise. I live every day for the Lord. That's it. I ain't worried about it. When he comes, he's going to come. Until then, I ain't going to worry about it. And I ain't going to fill people full of hope that is not scriptural. And I don't care what PhD in theology tells you that. He's wrong. At any rate.
Yeah, you can't listen to the world. You got to stay in the Word of God. Because the world will lead you astray.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I like this, but I've got a whole other section, and I'm going to figure out how we're going to deal with that, because we've pretty much covered this, and I didn't realize how long this one is, so I'm going to break this up into two separate studies, because I can't keep going on the other one. I'm going to put it, I'll do it, but at any rate, this has been a really good study. I really enjoyed it. Because we compared both from the Jewish perspective, from the promise coming through the Jews, because the gospel went to the Jew first and then to the Gentile.
Yeah, thank God that he made a way for the Gentiles.
Oh, amen. I'm all for that. Yay!
Me too. Yeah, I'm glad.
And like I've said before, the Lord can have a rapture anytime he wants. Just because I don't teach on it, and I try to tell you the truth. But, I'm willing to go anytime he wants to come get me.
but it isn't time yet.
No, it isn't time. But see, the other point to that is this, is that we have work to do, folks. I have work to do. Tower has work to do. And make no mistake, this is not about getting out early. This is about getting the gospel to people that need it, getting help to a church that needs it, helping people to be prepared. That is what we do at Warren Radio.
That's right.
Period. That's what we do. And we ain't going anywhere until it's time. And it ain't time. One day,
amen.
It's going to be time. One day, you're not going to find us or a lot of others. They ain't going to be around. But that's a whole other story of which I've talked about before, too. So at any rate, don't forget the book, Steal the Darkness. I think that you will really like this book. Get this book, and then I want you to tell me what you think of it and give us comments and rate us on Amazon. That is, if you love it. If you don't like it, well, I can. I'm sorry about that. I liked it. I enjoyed writing it. Tower liked it.
I liked it.
Yeah, and we've read it several times, quite a number of times. So we're going to have to get out of here.
Good night, everybody. We love you. We thank you for joining us. Whenever you do, God be with you. We pray for you. God bless you.
And I forgot to do the sound of the shofar thing. I did my other one. So I'm going to do a little bit of sound of shofar to get the shofar sounded. And then I'm going to turn around and do the close.
Okay.
thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.